Abani Gani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, where I taught there for over 34 years. And I also retired professor from Compton College, where I taught psychology, history, and ethnic studies for 10 years. I want to welcome each and everyone to the Conscious Corner program, along with my co-host, who will probably be joining us shortly, historian Joe Hembrick, who's a longtime educator for the Compton Unified and Linwood Unified School District, prolific coach in football, one of the first Black head coaches for the Linwood Unified High School District, as well as a longtime administrator as a vice principal and coordinator and all kind of, and teacher for the Compton Unified School District. We want to welcome you to the show, and we want to get right into it. We have a special guest that's going to start off the show. But before we get started, I want to know, have anyone found any good deeds or frontline achievements of Black people on the front line struggling for justice and things of this nature? So we start with Mashinda. Mashinda, do you have any good news about Black people?
Well, you know, now I just hope that we get out and try to attack that 13th Amendment, you know, enslaving the people that are incarcerated. You know, it's up for vote in 5 states, including Louisiana. So there's a lot of aggressive brothers and sisters out there trying to take that off the, you know, off the books. You know, it's a long time coming. Don't make no sense. But they got states that's trying to keep it on the books, you know, to keep brothers and sisters at indentured slave wages and treat them as chattel slaves, basically.
Okay, now you're in Louisiana, right, Mashinda?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, and so the initiative is on your ballot, right?
That is correct. In Alabama, I believe, five states.
Okay, could you take a picture of it and then send it into Rasha Key so that we can talk about that? Because it's not on everybody's ballot. You know, I'm going to be talking about mostly California and L.A. County tonight. But I'd like for us to research that initiative by next week, because we're going to continue to discuss voting at the next show also. So if you can get more information, send it to me or Rasha Key, it'd be helpful, okay?
Got it.
All right then, brother. Appreciate that. We're discussing good deeds and also examples of resistance to any form of injustice, where they say no justice, no peace. Good doctor, you have any good news or any examples of struggle?
Only one I can think of, and I appreciate the question you're asking, because they don't show any good deeds on the news, only the bad. And I'm here, that's why I'm here, to hear any good deeds. But only other thing I just saw just today was that one sister who shot and killed that white fireman who was chucking out her boyfriend or husband. Yeah. And the DA decided not to prosecute because they consider it self-defense. That's the only thing I saw that was, equal, fair treatment, justice.
Do you got her name, or do you got the article?
I just saw it today on YouTube.
YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
If you can get the information on that, and afford it to Rasha Key.
I'm going to afford it to him right now. Look it up.
Okay, so we can discuss that. That's real good news. Sante for that. Yeah, Sante, son. Brother Hembrick, any good news on front line or good deed?
No, brother, just listen.
All right, then. Well, Sister Linda.
Yes, I'm.
Okay, that's Linda. Yes. You got any good news or good deeds that we've done as Black people?
I wish I could provide it, but no, I'm here to learn also.
All right, then. Rasha Key?
Yes, sir. A couple of things. Brother-in-law was incarcerated for 30 years, got out. Now he's working and doing pretty good so far. So we hope that he keeps progressing. And then also the guest that we're going to have for Wednesday. He's a Long Beach State alumni, and he works for Job Corps. And we had a discussion today about the program, and it's a real good program for young people that don't know which direction they want to go in. So it kind of gives them guidance. So it's a real good program. He's going to discuss that on Wednesday. So those are the two things I want to mention.
All right, then, Sanjay, I got two things I just want to bring up. First of all, I want to really thank the coalition led by mainly Black people that are demonstrating at Los Angeles City Hall, demanding the resignation of the two council people and the union leader that are left that have not resigned yet for racist discussions at a meeting that they were supposed to be dealing with redistricting. And the president of the city council, who was a female, a Latino, she was the one that making the racist comments. She resigned not only from her presidency of the city council, she also resigned her seat. Now the people are continually putting pressure for the other two council people to resign, and they've been camping out in front of one of the council people's houses for the whole week, demanding that they can't even have city council meetings because they're so disruptive. So they've been having them virtual. So that's a major, major frontline thing. Second, I want to say, Asante, to the women of Iran who are demonstrating on their third week for the murder of one of their sisters for not wearing the Islamic shawl. And they've been demonstrating all week, and it's been really creating disruption for women's rights because of the oppression that they feel that and the sexism of Islam and their interpretation of Islam. We have to give credit to those women that are standing up and the men that are joining them to challenge the murder of the sister, as well as they're taking off their shawls and burning them and their headdress and burning them. And they just going, dealing with it in Iran. So we want to recognize that. And good deeds. I want to say Steph Curry of the San Francisco Warriors, who just won the NBA championship last year, when they were getting their rings at halftime with millions of people watching. He was the only athlete that took a political and conscious position on Brittany Griner and said that, we want Brittany Griner free. And I thought that was good, because it spoke to millions of people, keeping her name alive. And that's what she asked. Also, she didn't want people to forget her. And so they're constantly putting pressure on Biden to make a deal to get Brittany Griner home. And that's a major thing. Second, I want to talk about Spencer Haywood and the Boston Celtics. Game against Miami Heat, I think it was. Their first game, I can't remember who they were playing, but Spencer Haywood, a part of the show, was a tribute to Bill Russell, not just as a basketball player, they won 10 championships straight, but they talked about his role in politics and his role in saving athletes from themselves, as well as his civil rights and racial positions against discrimination. So I thought that was good. And, these are the things. And secondly, the NAACP has filed a major suit against Jackson, Mississippi, city council and governance for the water that they are, a problem that they're having down there. Suing them because they see that it's a pattern. When you go to Flint, Michigan, seems like they have water problems where predominantly Black people are. And so we want to thank the NAACP for that. Now, we want to welcome everybody to the show. We got the good doctor, Mashinda, Sister Linda Shorter, as well as historian Joe Hembrick, as well as Sister Make It Happen, Dr. Shabazz, and we are getting ready to get started. But before, and the show tonight is going to be about the proposition and a little bit of presentation about politics and why it's important to us as a people. And I taught Black politics, Cal State Long Beach, as well as at Compton Community College. Well, I asked a special guest to come on. And the reason I asked her to come on because I've tried her vitamins. And her vitamins pep me up, not like drugs, but just with good energy. And I said, you got to come on and talk about your vitamin. And it's going to be a short discussion about her vitamin called vitamin A, if I'm not mistaken. But she'll explain that. But she's a good friend of my friend who introduced me to the vitamin. He saw I was on dialysis. I was weak and tired. He said, you take this. And then next thing I know, I was out in my backyard walking, shooting basketballs and doing everything, you know what I'm saying? So I asked Kimberly to come on and talk about the vitamin. Because when you see something good, you want to share it. You know, I'm not endorsing nothing. But bear witness is how it affected me. But I am endorsing Kimberly as a beautiful spirit that is trying to help men. It's for men, if I'm not mistaken. To enhance their whole vigorous. And so if you have a special man you want to get some gifts to, or if you as a man want to strengthen yourself and get some energy, I'm going to let Kimberly tell you about her vitamin. Go ahead, Kimberly. This is Kimberly here.
Thank you very much, Amira. It's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you good.
Okay. Thank you. I'm coming to talk again, coming here to talk about a herbal solution for men, for health and wellness that addresses many health issues for men. And I've been doing it for about 3 years. And the reason why I got into it was because my father had passed away from diabetes. But working close with the doctor who created the formula, I was able to see a lot of the good benefits and the effects that it had helped many men. So I just wanted to get in there, to just join in, to have the opportunity to be able to help as many men as I could. So, and also, you know, Darrington Sampson helped me and introduced me to you. So I'm grateful for that as well. Mm-hmm. But what it is, my product is called A-Game. And again, it is a dietary herbal, dietary solution exclusively for men. But what it's done, it's changed the dynamic of what normalcy should be regarding sexual dysfunction, and has created a formula that produces long-term solution designed to address many issues that affect men, including diabetes, high blood pressure, and cholesterol. It's designed to nourish a man's vital organs, including but not limited to the kidney, liver, and prostate. What it does, it provides you with strength. It's good, provides you with energy, as Amin Ross said. It gives you vitality, and it's also good for your libido. So what it does is that it's comprised of 21 Chinese herbs and has been studied for many, many years to address, you know, all these issues. There's no fillers, there's no additives to it or anything like that. And the major function of this is, of course, to increase your blood flow for men, which is very, very important. It can strengthen your immunity system and provide circulation. So with the strength portion of it, you know, A-game, it helps to deliver a healthy flow of blood and oxygen to tissue around the body and nourish the organs. It greatly improves overall muscle strength. And due to the pure herbal composition that we have, A-game does not really cause any side effects. It can be taken without a prescription. It does give you vitality. It contains exclusive anti-aging formula with the 21 powerful herbs, you know, that promote long-term health and wellness in men. It gives you, like I said, strength, vitality, energy. Gotta excuse me, I'm a little nervous, so please forgive me. But it does give you the energy that you need to, and then libido, because it's successful in the stimulation and restoration of male reproductive system, and it increases the level of testosterone, as well as remedy the symptoms of various forms of erectile dysfunction and low sex drive in men. You know, this again is just all herbs. You know, it's again, we make the disclaimer that, you know, we're not making any medical claims that is going to heal you, but it does really, really work very well. If you were to, they come in a herbal capsule. If you take it, you can, and you want to experience the immediate effects of it, you can open the herbal capsule and pour it into a room, a glass of room temperature water, and it will work within 1 to 2 hours. However, because the ingredients are so powerful, you know, one herb can last in your system up to 3 days, depending on how the men's body metabolizes it. But it's a really, really good formula. And it's a really good thing. I have a lot of testimonies, you know, from different men who have taken it, but it's a really, really good product. That's really pretty much all I can say. My website is up. You know, if anyone wants to go and take a look at it, all the ingredients are there. You know, it's A-game, LAWest.com, or that's the LA Herbal. That's the agameherbal.com. That's our corporate website. You know, I do have my own as well, but that's an introduction to it as well. And then we do offer a free sample if any men would like to try it, and you would just pay for, you know, the shipping on that. But it's a really, really good product. So how I got into it again was through the CEO of A-game and the creator of it. His name is Dr. Spencer Holman. And he just, over 20 years ago, wanted to create an innovative approach to equipping men with the tools to be excellent in every aspect of life. He created Fatherhood Academy and impacted over 1 million men, but he now has created a new Black Star University, an XLV system. But he worked hard to develop the formula for this, and it's been in the research for many, many, many years. So he was able to help improve proper blood flow, like I said, and just increase the vitality, energy, strength, and libido with men. So all the herbs are there. We haven't really had any problems, again, with any side effects. The only side effects that we have heard, or not side effects, but reactions, would be maybe possible slight headache. But that comes with the fact that you would need to drink a lot of water. So when you do take the herb, we do encourage you to start off by drinking at least 16 ounces of water. But with anything, you know, for basic hydration, it's necessary for you to drink water throughout the day. So the more water that you drink, the better that it will flow through your system. So, you know, it's working to kind of, you know, address the issues that you have. You'll feel energy. It's really good. What we do also recommend, though, for someone that may be sedentary. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I lost you guys. I do apologize for that.
We see you.
Okay. So it does, I was saying, I lost my train of thought. Please forgive me. I forgot what I was getting ready to say. Gosh, please forgive me. I lost my thought, but
that's okay.
Yeah, it's a really good product. And oh, I was saying this. If you have a sedentary lifestyle where you're not working out that much, you know, and that your diet isn't that great, if you were to you know, sample one of the herbs, we would recommend that you opening it up and maybe taking half of it because it's very powerful. And then start from there to see how your body reacts to it. And then, you know, work your way up from there. But, you know, it's a really, really, really good product. I can't keep repeating it enough, but it's done, you know, like you said, Amin-Ra, gave him a good amount of energy. I heard that he was on the golf course playing golf. You know, I do have a couple other dialysis patients. One gentleman where he's driven a limousine and dialysis for, you know, a couple of days. But it was very difficult when he first started. I gave him about 4 samples. And when he came to me, he didn't think that it would work for him after taking 3 of the samples. And I told him, no, it will work. And so he took the 4th one. I told him just to wait a little bit over the weekend. And then he did call and tell me that he wanted to purchase a box of A-game because once he got out of dialysis, he did take a capsule, and he had so much energy that he took a job, a driving job. But it was all the way down in San Diego. So he was really, really energized by that, you know. So I have another client that had high blood pressure. It was a little higher than normal. You know, I did encourage him when he started taking it, you know, of course, to just monitor his blood pressure levels. And then eventually, you know, when you go back to, you know, give blood samples, let your physician know that you're trying to, you know, to incorporate this into your diet. And it got to the point where he started taking it and was consistent with it, that his high blood pressure levels were normal. And now he doesn't have to take it, the medication, as much, because that's the end result, is to try to get all of our men, or no matter, not just Black men, all men of all nationalities, to stop taking these pharmaceutical medications because they're affecting their kidneys and their liver, you know. So Kimberly, it's really a lifestyle choice.
Yeah, Kimberly, we're going to see if anybody have any questions.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll start off with Brother Mashinda. You have any questions, Mashinda?
Yes. Good evening. How old are the subjects that have taken the medicine? You know, is it different ages? Like, give me an age range.
Well, it can start from 30 years old up to 70, 75. You know, and I happen to have the majority of my clients are 60 plus. I do have some, you know, in the 50s. I don't have any in the 30s, but there are a few youngsters, you know, young generation that use it to enhance like muscle tissues, you know, working out at the gym to give them that extra push. So yeah, that's the age range, anywhere from 30 up to say maybe 75.
All right. Any other question, Ms. Shinda?
No, I just was curious. Thank you.
All right. Linda, you have any questions?
No, I don't have any questions. This is very interesting, so I want to hear everything she says.
Okay. The doctor, you have any questions?
No.
Okay. Then, Dr. Shabazz, do you have any questions?
I don't have questions. I'm excited to meet a fellow alchemist doing the work, the medicine work. So congratulations on your healing journey. And I look forward to hearing more about your wonderful product.
Oh, thank you.
All right, brother Roger Key.
Yes. Okay. Well, where's your website? I mean, what's the name of your website?
My name of the way. The name of my website is agamelawest.com.
Okay, repeat that, please.
Okay. A game, so agamelawest.com.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Well, Kimberly, we want to thank you for appearing and bringing forth this information. We're going to, get some samples and we'll share this information with others. And we really want to thank you for coming and sharing that information. And again, I'm taking them. It's not something that, I bear witness that it did help me get out there on the golf course and get out there walking. And I appreciate you, Kimberly.
Is this it right here?
You know what? I'm having problems on my screen. Apologize. My nephew keeps calling in, so I can't see anything. So just bear with me for a second. Just trying to get back in. I think I need to go back where I was. Is where am I? I don't even know where I am. I apologize. This is actually my first Zoom call, so I'm a bit nervous too. So,
Hey, well, I see it. This has to be it. So,
it's burgundy.
Yeah,
that's mine there. It says A Game LA West. And then also too, if perchance, if you had any questions, you guys can always email me, and my email address is agamelawest@gmail.com as well. And I can always send you information, or like I said, if you want to, you can order directly from me, or you can order from the website to receive a sample. I cover the Los Angeles area and the San Fernando Valley, so I'm around driving all the time. I always taken an interest to start on the ground, through brick and mortar, meeting with clients and listening to their stories, learning how I can help them. So, I can always deliver, all of that. I'm available for that as well.
Okay. Kimberly, Kimberly, can you tell me the founder's name again, please?
His name is Dr. Spencer Holman, Holman. If you were to go back to his corporate website at agameherbal.com, you could see about him, or you could see about us on my website too. His picture's on there, and it does also, state what his philosophy is and all of that stuff as well. He's a very successful man. He also created a foundation called the 10 Life Values for Men. So he was interested in possibly sitting in on the Zoom meeting as well, because he is very pro-Black, and that's and all about men. So,
Kimberly, I'm going to give you a call. Give me his information. I'll give him a call, and we'll have him on the show to discuss A Game. And what's the other program he has?
He has the Black Star University.
Okay, we got to get that on. Talking about the Garvey almost.
Yes, and you know what? And that's one more thing. I won't keep you guys for long, but he does have a project taking place in Costa Rica, in Limon, where they are building container homes on lands. They're selling lots and things like that. But one of the initiatives were to rebuild the Marcus Garvey building that burnt down. He has a lot of projects going on. So I would definitely like to get you in contact with him.
All right. Well, listen, Kimberly, you're welcome. We're here every Monday and Wednesday with various guests and discussions on issues that critically affect Black people in the Black community, both locally and nationally and internationally. So this is a community education network, Mondays and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. If you want friends, any other people. Second, your presentation will be on YouTube as a part of this show. So if you want friends who may not can contact you, you can refer them to it. Okay? All right, then. We're going to thank you. If you want to listen to the rest of the show, you can. Or you can go and take care of your business and see if you've got some sales. All right. Okay.
Thank you so much for your time. You guys have a good evening.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right.
Brothers and sisters, we're getting ready to discuss a very serious issue called politics. the election, November 22nd is about to come, November 8th is about to come up, and a lot is on the ballot. They like to talk about this as a battle about democracy. Malcolm X said, America's democracy is really American hypocrisy. And if anybody proven that it is hypocrisy, it's the current Republicans and the current leader of the mega movement that has transformed the Republican Party into the mega party. And that's Donald Trump, showing the monster side of America. But politics has a very unique composition. It starts off with the human being. It's called self-governance. But self-governance is that you are a political being with regards to yourself. You govern yourself in many ways. And so therefore, it's a natural inclination that politics is an outgrowth of the human anatomy. If you look at your biology, it has a system. And those are your biochemical institutions that keep you functioning and housing your spirit, your consciousness. But your consciousness and your awareness and your values and your ethics come from your life experience, training, or your philosophy or ideology. But it's a spiritual type of consciousness. But the self-governance is the most important aspect of governance with regards to your ability to, and once you reach maturity and rational thought, to lead yourself, direct yourself, and empower yourself to achieve in major institutions such as educational attainment, such as economic attainment, such as relationships, and such as your aspects of working with others to develop an environment. So it starts with you. Politics start with you from a biochem. You may not want to say it's that. And then in your family, you have a governance that supersedes yourself. When you're young, your parents is your governance or your guardian. They tell you what to do, when to go to bed, what to do. It's a governance. Some of them are matriarchal, some of them are patriarchal, and some of them are a combination of working together as parents. Parents mean two people. And sometimes it's a single parent. And they are governance of you with regards to shaping you into the person that you are to become while you're under their supervision. Now, you can change anytime you want. And you can be rebellious. I'll be rebelled against their parents' governance. They tell you to come in, you stay out. They tell you don't use drugs, you do it. So, there's resistance to even righteous governance, regardless of where it comes from. And so that's a very important dynamic we call it Kuji Chakalia, and as one of the seven principles of the Nguzo Saba, self-determination. But that self-determination hopefully is a righteous and a determination to do good and to bring good into the world. There are people that govern themselves and they feel like, hey, look, I can do what I want to do and I don't care about anybody else, who I hurt, who I destroy. I create my own values that I think makes me feel good, makes me be whoever I want to be. If you want to be a criminal, if you want to be a murderer, if you want to be a thief, if you want to be a liar, if you want to be an honest person, a good person, a well-liked person, that's all a part of that shaping of family influence and education and then indoctrination and then governance. Your mother and father, y'all gonna get ready to go somewhere. Sometimes it's a group decision. Sometimes the parents say, this is where we're going. You know, I want to stay home. No, you coming with us. You understand? Those are the things. We want to go to see this movie. You want to go that? No. Let's sit down and have a decision. Some families have group decisions, have meetings, and they do it in a democratic fashion of everybody vote, and then they make their decision. Others, it's a dictatorship, either the daddy rule or the mama rule, and that's it. But it's a political system within the family. And most people don't see their family as a political system, but a part of being a parent is being political with your children with regards to your governance over them. And so we also expand the concept of politics to social, your environment, shaping it, and what's around you with regards to the imposition of laws, the imposition of compulsory aspects of behavior, such as they developed compulsory schools. Now, you know, you have to go to school, even if you've been self-taught at home. You have to develop a system to demonstrate that you're getting educated. Educated means to induce, say, bring out the best in you, cultivate the best in you, and also a training and things, and that's dealing with skills and vocational dynamics and things of that nature for the future. You know, something we used to, your daddy was a plumber, you become a pump. Your daddy shoe horses, you become a shoe horse. But things change and people have more expansive opportunities because of progress, technology, and science. All of that has expanded the realm of politics and of opportunities. And so that's very important. And then you're dealing with social government. Not the overall political system that creates the parameters by which you live amongst others, and which is the administration of justice to solve problems, to remedy problems. You know, at one time people, you know, hey, you know, it was street justice, or in the colonial days, in the old days. You know, the people punished you. Even on the continent of Africa, they had systems of punishing you, even if they just put you outside the community and isolated you. There was a governance system. This system has the laws and things and this stuff. So you have to learn these things, and becoming a part of it is you accept the punishment. If you don't accept the punishment, you run. There are other ways in which they call you a fugitive, and then there's other consequences for you not going along with the punishment of the society or the problem solving of the problem. The whole purpose of parents is to solve problems of the children. The whole purpose of governance is to solve problems of the society. If you have a crime problem, if you have a health problem, if you have a food problem, if you have that. That's all a part of the political system of providing problem-solving decisions and preventive measures to face problems. So that's very critical from politics. Now, when we start looking at the Euro-American political system going fast, skipping a lot of stuff, Euro-American political system is what they call electoral politics. But the whole purpose of politics is the pursuit, acquisition, maintenance, and utilization of power. Power is the individual or social capacity to realize your will even in opposition to others. I'm going to say that again. Power is the individual and social capacity to realize your will, what you want to do in opposition to others. Many Black people in Euro-American politics confuse influence with power. Who you know versus what you can do. Influence is, I know somebody that can get you a job. Power is, I can hire you and I can give you a job. That's two different things. See, when you know somebody that can get something done, that means you have influence. And that's the majority of the political power that Black people have in the dynamic of racism in America. And a lot of people say, well, you got juice with this person and juice with that person. That's a political dynamic of influence. And and some people think that that's power because of who you know. And that thing, but the people that make the decision is the one with the power. Second, power. Politics, from the concept of Ron Walters and Walton, both authors of History of Politics. Ron Walters was a professor at Howard University. He made his transition. And Wayne and Walton was an author and a historian of politics, one of the best book writers of politics in the history of Euro-American, Black people in Euro-American politics. They all come to the conclusion that politics in America is war without violence. And war in America and in the world is politics with violence. And so there's no ethics, no morals. As you know, in war, there's in love, there's no rules, regulations. You know, it's just an impositional situation. And this is why you see so much no permanent enemies, no permanent friends in politics. Now, today we are going to be discussing some of these propositions that are on the California ballot. And Rasha Key is going to help me get through it. Because a lot of Black people say they don't care about voting, it don't mean nothing. Well, if it don't mean nothing, you could do it. But the point is that it do mean something. And that Black people in this last two elections are the ones that gave other white people the power to confront other white people. In other words, if it wasn't for Black people, you wouldn't have Kamala Harris and Biden as president. You wouldn't have two senators out of Georgia. You wouldn't have them discussing reparations in various states. You wouldn't have the issues that concern Black people on the table and on the front burner in that road. And even Biden said, if it wasn't for the Black people, South Carolina, North Carolina, I would not be here. And so he gave praise to the Black people. And that's why he appointed a Black woman to the Supreme Court. And we all know that that's a very lifetime gig. And Thurgood Marshall was called the resister because he, the abstainer, because he was always, they called him the dissenter, because he would always write dissensions about the racist policies within the Supreme Court. But the point is that those are some of the highlights of dynamic. Now, Arashki, are you there? He's not here yet. But anyway, we'll go with Proposition 1.
Yes.
Okay. Well, first of all, do you want to put that constitution, voters' constitution? And this is something that we need to have these discussions with our children and should be a part of the school curriculum. Okay. The constitution, the other one, the one we couldn't read, but that's okay. We'll go with Proposition 1. You want to pull it up? This is a very serious proposition. Now, there's two ways to get things on the ballot. One, through legislation, and this is what you call a referendum. A referendum is meaning that there are already laws in California about abortion. Now, you want to amend it or change it or abolish it. And so that's why they call it a referendum amendment to the Constitution, and it's being put forth by a Senate constitutional amendment. And that means the majority of the people will do that. But anyway, it deals with reproductive freedom. California Constitution declares that defining life and liberty, acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, and pursuing, pursuing and obtaining safety, happiness and privacy are inalienable rights, and that a person may not be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the process of law or equal protection of the laws, existing laws. The Reproductive Privacy Act declares that every individual possesses a fundamental right of privacy with respect to personal reproductive decisions and prohibits the state from denying or interfering with a person's right to choose or obtain an abortion before viability of the fetus or when the abortion is necessary to protect the life and health of the person. This measure would amend the California Constitution to prohibit the state from denying or interfering with an individual's reproductive freedom in their most intimate decisions, which includes their fundamental right to choose to have an abortion and their fundamental right to choose to refuse contraceptive. What they're saying is that a woman and her physician or her spiritual leader or her family can decide they can have an abortion within the context of the California law that exists, and they're amending it so that that would be a part of it, right? You know, and that's a very important dynamic, and they want to protect that right of women and families to family planning, the right to have abortion. And it's on the ballot in the state of California. And now, are there any questions concerning that proposition? Doctor, you have any questions?
No.
What about you, Brother Hembrick? Big Joe? All right, Mashinda? Can y'all on mute? All right, then let's go to the next proposition. Proposition 25 allows. Proposition 26, I mean. Rasha Key. Voting. See, there's two dynamics to politics among Black people. One is when you're American electoral political activity. It starts with the first Black that voted, the first Black person that held office. And the first Black political party participation in political parties. You know, when Jesse Jackson ran for the presidency in 1984, they were going to run another brother out of Atlanta, but Jesse Jackson imposed on that. And so, but the point is that the election, that's the system choosing your leadership, your political leadership. Then we have intergroup choosing. Most of the time, it's ministers, and most of the time, it's activists that emerge as leaders based upon their following and their strength. So there's two dynamics to Black politics. One, our participation in Euro-American. Second, our interaction with each other and understanding of each other. Now, everyone don't necessarily get involved in political activity, governance. That's a given. I think that's about 35% of us, according to Roland Martin, really participate in politics. Of that 35%, it's a solid vote, and it's a lot of us. And it presents a strong a voter percentage for us to do that. That means that we could really change a lot of things if the other people would get actively involved in electoral politics. I mean, you're talking hundreds of millions of people that are eligible to vote that don't vote. But even though we have a strong percentage that do vote and are loyal voters, many to the Democratic Party, but many as just people that are involved in the governance of America, recognizing that that's a part of living here. It doesn't matter if you vote or not. You live here, it's going to affect you. And so all politics are local, starts local. Okay, so anyway, Proposition 26 allows in-person roulette, dice games, sports, wagering, or tribal lands initiative, constitutional amendment. And this is put on by petitions and signatures. That's another way you get an initiative on the ballot, is either by petition or by legislation. And you have two legislation governments, the Assembly and the State Senate. And it's they can put things on there. But anyway, Proposition 26 deals with gambling, and it would produce, hold it right there, Rusky, go back down. Okay, hold it right there, right there. The Indian gaming in California directly and indirectly generated the following total economic and fiscal impact on California economy: 124,000 jobs, $20 billion in output, $9 billion in wages to employees, $3.4 billion in taxes and revenue sharing payments to federal, state, and local government, including nearly $1 billion to the state of California and $378 million to local government. Horse racing, the whole point of this is that they want to open up gambling. Well, people are already gambling. They run gambling houses. They run, they got bookies in different places that book horses. They have dice games at people's houses and things. And I know my father ran a gambling house when I was coming up. So right now they're trying to make it legal so that Indian reservations can have dice, have other type of gambling waging on tribal land, and it would generate economics for the state. Some people are against it, some people are for it. All right, Doc, what do you think about it?
I'm voting yes.
Yeah, I like that. What about you, Big Joe? Are you there? All right, Robert, you, Mashinda.
Hey, two each his own. You know, they already got family. So, I'd be hypocritical. So let it ride. Hey,
every time you buy a lotto ticket, you're rolling the dice. Hoping you hit. So anyway, that's a good one. All right, let's go to number 28. This one allows you to do it online, mobile sports wagering, outside tribal land, initiative, constitutional amendment, and statute. But the point is, it's about gambling online. Some people don't like to leave their house. They can put their credit card up. There's opposition to it, but again, I'm like Doc. I'm voting yes for all gambling. This is important. See, most people that's against abortion, they're doing it for religious reasons, evangelists and Catholics, and they're the ones that really, from a religious standpoint, imposing their religion on others. And this is another one. People equate gambling with sin. Drinking and gambling, you do it to you every time. All that type of stuff. So, I don't see that. I think that there's a lot of people that will not gamble. They just don't gamble. Like, some people don't smoke cigarettes. So, I think that's it. But they're thinking about children will be gambling online and stuff like that. But any questions concerning that? Any issues? All right. Let's go to 28. Provide additional funding for arts and music and education in schools. provides additional funding from state general fund to arts and music education in all K-12 public schools, including charter schools. Fiscal impact, increased state costs of about $1 billion annually beginning next year for arts and education. Right now, there's some schools that offer arts and music and various forms of educational programs that goes along with that, even that could include engineering, instruments and all that type of stuff. And what they're saying, a part of the tax-based money for the state has to go toward putting them in every school in the state of California for that standpoint. I don't know about elementary, but I'm pretty sure there's some that would do that from that standpoint, ensuring that public schools will receive increased funding for arts and music education. I think they should include vocation, period, especially at the high school level, and by providing even more funding for schools that serve children in low-income communities who lack access to the arts and music. Mashinda, what do you think about that one? You there, Mashinda?
Yeah, I think it's fine. I understand that the formula gives more schools more funding based on the share of their students who are low-income, English learners, or in foster care. Yeah, as long as it trickles down, I'm good with it.
What about you, good doctor?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't even know music wasn't, the arts wasn't even in school. When did it disappear? I'm shocked at that. But.
Well, the thing is that a lot of it, they put so much emphasis on testing now, Doc. Testing, and then a lot of the instruments are expensive, and the schools, they get a little committee to decide to spend the money somewhere else instead of on instruments. I mean, they used to have good bands and good jazz ensembles and other forms of arts, and arts can cover a lot: acting, theater art, fine arts, sculturing. And there's a lot of things that can come up art and creativity. And so I agree with you, Doc. I vote for that too. What about you, Big Joe? You back yet? All right, let's go. Roshki, you have any comment? You on mute?
I'm for it.
Okay.
For it.
Okay. Okay, all right. The next one is Proposition 29. This is the hot one about dialysis. Requires on-site licensed medical professional at kidney dialysis clinics and establishes other state requirement initiative statutes. What they're saying is that they want a doctor or a physician assistant or a registered nurse that knows dialysis, at least 6 months training or more, all the time at the dialysis center when you're given dialysis. Many dialysis centers don't have that. They do not have a physician there all the time. People have heart attacks, people have strokes, people have other issues. They can't get their blood pressure down or they have excessive bleeding. There's a lot of things that go wrong. And sometimes only the technicians be there, or one nurse that's just a general nurse, but one that specializes in dialysis. The dialysis centers don't want to pay that. They think it'd cut into their profit. I go to the clinic and I'm for it, because I think the doctor should be there all the time, and that they should do routine check. Like when we check in, during COVID, they do not give any rapid tests. All they do is take your temperature and give you a mask until you go sit in the chair and get hooked up. I'd rather have a doctor there, and that requires people, I'm for them to require rapid tests, even though everybody mostly have to get vaccinated. You know, I mean, unless there's a medical reason why you don't, or your doctor, your nephrologist tell you you're allergic to the ingredients of in the vaccine or whatever. But they make $1 million per person. Now they have a lot of people that's against it coming on TV talking about, I'm going to die, they're going to close my center. They ain't going to close these centers. They make $1 million a person, and there's generally 10 to 12 people in small clinics, 20 to 30 people in major clinics. There are the three major franchises of dialysis. The Vidia, Fresenius is the major one. They're the ones that make the machines. There are some state inspections every now and then, and they're surveyed. But the point is that I think for the health and safety of everyone on dialysis, that they should have a doctor there. Even though I don't think the initiative is going to pass, I'm voting yes for it, because I want our people, I want them to have the treatment, the doctors there. Any questions about that, Doc? You got anything?
No, I'm glad you brought that one up, because I seen the commercials. I wasn't too sure, and I kind of figured it out. I'm like, it'd be common sense that the doctor would be there. You doing medical procedures, you need a doctor or someone licensed, there just to oversee it. And that's why I kind of figured it was something probably about cutting into the profits, but I wasn't too sure. And I feel a little, like you said, the ones that got people, mostly brothers, they put on the commercial, the little sad story that their clinic's going to close down. Yeah. But how you just explained $1 million per person?
Yeah,
and they don't want to get a doctor because they cut into their profits? Okay, all right.
Let me tell you, they want you to have insurance. You got to have insurance, either Medicare, or Kaiser, and when you are senior at Kaiser, your Medicare and Kaiser, and they pay for all your treatment, everything. Every bandage, every vitamin. If you take one vitamin, they may charge you $100 for that vitamin that they say you need. They do the labs and they come and they say you need iron. They tell me every time I take vitamin D pills, but every time I go there, they say you need some vitamin D. I say, man, I'm taking 1,000 units a day, and so and the people that get on that time out, they're going to close them. They don't tell you where they die center, where they die the center is. They don't tell you why they're going to die, because you don't die from dialysis. You generally die from a heart attack, a bleeding out, or a stroke. Dialysis is just functioning with your kidney. Now, you can get a transplant, don't have to get dialysis, but that's a 5-hour operation. And sometimes you have to come in with a live donor. They won't put you on a list if you're old or overweight or you don't meet their criteria, because they consider a successful operation in dialysis is that you live through the operation. That means it was success. Don't mean that the kidney's going to work all the time. Because many times you got to go back and get another one. And they don't take the old kidney out. They put one right under it. And the life expectancy is the same as being on dialysis. The only difference is you don't have to go in and get the treatment when you get a kidney transplant. Some people do it at home. But then when you do it at home, you turn in a room into a storage room for medicine and fluid. And your house got to be kept clean, and because infection is vulnerable. After they do the operation, they want you to take 15 anti-rejection pills for at least 2 months until they figure out which ones you're going to keep. And then your own anti-rejection pills for the rest of your life, on top of the medicine that you're already taking that caused your kidneys to stop working. Maybe blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicine. You still got to take that on top of the other medicine they get. So all that stuff about them clothing, if you read the commercial, who's paying for it, then that'll tell you it's a major medical dialysis center. And look, Rasha Key, we're going to end it right here and we'll deal with the other proposition, the one that deal with cigarette flavoring and other couple of initiatives that they got next Monday. Reverend Smart, of the president of the Los Angeles, of the Southern, well, I think he's a Southern representative, regional representative of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the one that Dr. King created. He marched with Dr. King. He's a preacher out in L.A., and he's leading one of the struggle to get rid of the city council people up in L.A. Who did the race. He'll be our guest next Monday. So, Roski, why don't you take us on out?
Okay. On Wednesday, we have Chris Shepherd coming, and he's going to talk about Job Corps. So it'll be real, real good show, very, very good information, and I'm looking forward to it. All right, so that's what's going on Wednesday, and excellent show this evening, Professor Ra,
yes,
Brother Joe, Brother Doctor. So each one teach one, Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.
All right, then. Take care, bro.